Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. Paul was facing a significant problem in the church at Galatia. Indeed, we might recognize initially that were it not for the problems which churches faced, we would not have the epistles of Paul at all. So let us not be surprised when we find ourselves being under the pressure and the adversity which God Himself allows in any church. But Paul was facing this significant problem at Galatia. The reason that he wrote the book to the Galatian Christians is because there were some Christians at Galatia who once, when they heard the gospel, they became Christians, they began again to follow the Old Testament. They had a problem with some believers, and these believers were called Judaizers. That is, they became Christians, but they also said, you must follow the principles and the practices of the Old Testament if you would be a true believer. In chapter 1, the Apostle Paul sets forth what is the authenticity of the gospel. Evidently, these Judaizing Christians began to ask questions to those who had first responded to the gospel when Paul preached it. They were asking these Judaizers, why is Paul so authoritative? Why should you take his word? Why is his word any more important than my word? So Paul set forth the authenticity of the gospel which he was preaching in Galatians chapter 1. He gave his testimony. And then he said in verse 6 that it was God's, in verse 16, that it was God's purpose to set him apart to reveal his son in me. That I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood. What Paul goes on to say is that when he became a Christian, that he went aside for a period of 3 years, and that Christ so communicated and revealed himself to the Apostle Paul, so that Paul was preaching a gospel even though he had not talked to the other apostles. He had not read a gospel. He had not read a book in the New Testament. He depended completely on the revelation, on the communication of God speaking through His Holy Spirit, revealed in His Son to the Apostle Paul. So that when Paul finally came to Jerusalem, he sought out some of the apostles and he sat down with Peter and James and some of the other leaders, and he said, men, this is the gospel that I have been preaching. Is this right? Is this the gospel that you yourselves have come to know that Christ communicated to you? And the apostles all agreed that this was the accurate preaching of the word. And so Paul is simply arguing with the Galatian church and with those who are the Judaizers who are saying that there is another gospel and that Paul is wrong. Paul is saying that I have tested the truth which I have been preaching with those who are the apostles themselves. So that the gospel I have preached to you is nothing short of the authentic gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then in chapter 2, Paul says that the most crucial doctrine involved with those believers, those Judaizers who want to go back to the Old Testament, is the doctrine of justification by faith and not by works. We read in verse 16, nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. You see, some Christians were saying, brother, your faith in Christ is not enough. You also have to go back and practice the principles of the Old Testament. Now that is a very, very important truth to grasp, and it is particularly important in our day and time. With the appearance of certain groups of Christians within Reformed circles, particularly those within a sphere called theonomy, with a renewed interest in the study of the Old Testament and the application of the law of God and its principles to our day and time. Galatians, the book to the Galatian Christians, is an all-important book for us within Presbyterianism. And indeed, there is a truth here that is relevant to all of us at any point, and indeed every day. And that truth is this principle, that a man is justified not by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, and that through the sheer grace of God. The cardinal doctrine of justification by faith was at stake. And so the Apostle Paul is writing to these Galatian Christians to engage those who were involved in this controversy to say that they are wrong in their approach to the Old Testament and to the New Testament. The book of Galatians was a favorite book of Martin Luther. He first wrote his commentary, the revised version of his commentary is about this thick. When he first wrote it, it was some 1,500 pages long. And he said this, quote, "The epistle to the Galatians is my epistle. To it I am, as it were, in wedlock. It is my Catherine." Luther went on to say that the doctrine of justification by faith is the heart of the church. As a church looks upon the doctrine of justification by faith and not by works, so goes that particular church, or so goes that particular denomination. I want to pay tribute and recognize a great teacher in our Presbyterian and Reformed circles, William Childs Robinson at Columbia Seminary in Decatur, Georgia. Whenever I think of the doctrine of justification by faith alone and not by works, I think of that godly saint who held forth the principles and the truth of God in the midst of a liberal and a liberalizing institution for many, many years. I even heard one of the strongest liberals who came out of that seminary and who finally became dean, that he would be, say that he would be eternally grateful to this great propounder of the truth for having taught him at least this one basic doctrine, which is a life-transforming doctrine, and that is we are justified not by the works of the law, but by faith through the grace of God. Firstly, we consider tonight that you and I are justified not by the works of the law. The first part of verse 16 says, a man is not justified by the works of the law. And then the last part of verse 16 says, since by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. If something is justified, it is said to be right. It is said to be okay. If I am justified in saying that Gadsden is in the state of Alabama, then I am right. I am justified in saying that. It is an accurate statement. It is an acceptable statement. Technically, to justify means this: to make or declare right or righteous. I said to justify means to make or declare right or righteous. Justification answers that all-important question, how can I be right in the sight of God? Just this past week, I was visiting some elderly folk, and one in particular. I was talking with her about her own relationship with Christ. She was saying how guilty she felt because she really didn't tithe. And I indicated that the most important thing was not so much the works that we do initially, but that we are saved and that we have assurance of eternal life. I said, do you have the assurance of eternal life? And she said, no, I don't. But it really concerns me about tithing. And I tried to explain to her that the most important thing was not her tithing or any other good work which she could do, but rather her simple faith in God, and that alone was the basis of her assurance. You see, she was falling into the trap that if she could do something, somehow she could be worthy to be received by God, and therefore she could be acceptable in God's sight, and she could be just. I mean, she could be pronounced right in the sight of God if her performance matched what she should do. But let me tell you something, Christian, and even Christians fall into the same trap after they become believers. So many people are always trying to make themselves worthy to be received by God, trying to do some great, tremendous act of sacrifice or some deed, or to make their lives to increase to the point in their own goodness where they are acceptable to God. But you know, no matter how good you became, it would never, never in 100, never in 1,000, never in 1,000,000 years would your goodness be enough to give you assurance, to make you acceptable in God's sight. You see, the truth of justification by faith and not by works recognizes the fact that by nature you are God's enemy and not His friend. If you look over in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, we read these words, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned." Do you know what that's called technically? It's called the imputation of Adam's sin. That is, Adam's sin was imputed. It was given to your account and to my account. So that when Adam sinned, we all sinned in him. And so because we all sinned, then we're all dead and we're dying. And because we all are dead and dying and are sinners, then we are enemies of God and not God's friends. Romans 9 says that we are vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. And Romans 5:8 says that even though we were sinners, God, Christ, died for us. The truth of justification by faith and not by works recognizes the fact that by nature, you are a sinner and you are helpless to ever make yourself acceptable to God. But also the truth of justification by faith and not by works recognizes that you can never be acceptable to God by how good you are. We mentioned that. You see, the Jews thought that by their works they could somehow make themselves acceptable to God. They could make themselves good enough for God to receive them. That's the problem that Paul mentions in verse 14. When he says, "But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel," that is Peter. You see, Peter had come up to Antioch to visit Paul and the work there. And when he came in, it was learned that Peter had been, although he was preaching originally to the Gentiles, Peter finally, when some Jews came up to visit Peter, Peter withdrew from these Gentiles and began to practice Judaism once again. And Paul said, "Listen, Peter, that's wrong. You can't do that. You are requiring these Gentiles to be conformed to the Jewish law." So that these Judaizers at Galatia were doing the same thing. They were saying, in essence, that though the Galatian Christians had come to know Christ by simple faith in Him, but now they were requiring the Christians to perform the principles and the practices of the Old Testament. But friends, you and I can never be good enough to be acceptable to God. How often we ought to remind ourselves of it, because it exalts what Christ did ultimately for you and me. You see, God's absolute moral law, as Paul points out in Galatians 2:16, he says, "By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." Why? Because the law has three parts. It is a moral law, it is a ceremonial law, it is a civil or a judicial law. And it is necessary that if you and I are going to be accepted before God, that you and I must obey perfectly God's absolute standard, God's absolute law. You see, Leviticus 19:2 says, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." You shall be perfect because I am perfect. Therefore, if you start obeying the law and if you depend on your own goodness to get you into heaven, then you have to obey the entire law. But James says this. James says that if we have sinned against God and if we break just one part of the law, then we're guilty of the entire law. The question is this: if you are going to depend on your own goodness to get you into heaven, then how good do you have to be? Suppose three men were stranded on an island out in an ocean. These three men had 5 miles to swim back to shore. The first man could swim, say, 1 mile. The second man could swim, say, 3 miles. And the third man could swim 4.5 miles and only lacked a few yards to make it to shore. But none of them could swim all the way. Would it do any of them any good to be able to swim a little bit or mid-length, are almost there but not quite make it? You see, the Bible teaches that God requires an absolute perfection on your part and on my part. Not just a little bit of goodness, but absolute goodness. And it doesn't matter if you are a little good or a little bit better or even better than everybody else around you, if you cannot make it in absolute perfection, in conformity to what God says that you should do, then you're lost. Because the Bible teaches that you will never, never, never be good enough to meet God's absolute moral standard. I'm sure that you're familiar with Martin Luther's pilgrimage. Martin Luther was the originator, the founder, the starter of the Reformation. He had a question, a burning desire to know something, the same question that I find occupies the minds of young people as well as older folk as well. And the question is this: an unrighteous sinner find acceptance in the sight of a righteous God? Martin Luther was motivated by that question. He went to St. Peter's. He crawled across the area out in front on his knees up the stairs. The Pope had told him to do penance. He wore horsehair sweaters. He punished his flesh. He starved himself. He could not find the answer. How can a man who is a sinner find acceptance? You see, the ultimate question is not, do I accept God? But does God accept me? Does God accept you? That's the question. How can this God, this perfect and holy and righteous one, how can he find it in himself to accept a sinner such as I? And then Martin Luther came to that verse in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, where it says that the just shall live by faith. He was a PhD. He was teaching theology. He was teaching the book of Habakkuk. He used Romans as a cross-reference. There in verse 17 was the answer for which he had sought all his life. The just shall live by faith. The just shall be made righteous by simple faith. And Martin Luther knew that he had the answer for which he sought, and he wrote in the margin of his Bible in Latin, sola, alone. How can an unrighteous sinner find acceptance in God's sight? You are justified by faith and not by works. Luther found the answer. You are justified by faith alone. You become acceptable to God, God's friend, through justification by faith. That's a great definition that we have in the Shorter Catechism. What is justification? Justification is an act of God's free grace, wherein He pardons all our sins and accepts us as righteous in His sight. Only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. That's what justification by faith and not by works means. It is a forensic, I mean it is a legal transaction that takes place in the kingdom of heaven. Now understand this, it is very important. Justification is an act of God. It is forensic, it is legal. Justification envisions God in a court of law. God is the judge. You are the one who has been accused. The law, the absolute moral law of God, is accusing you with Satan pointing his finger. You've broken God's law. You've broken God's law. You are guilty. You deserve damnation. You deserve damnation. And then Christ steps forward. He is your advocate. He is your attorney. He is your lawyer. Another image. A judge once had a friend of his to appear before his bar. The friend was guilty, and he said $50 or 15 days in jail. His friend said, "Judge, I don't have $50. So the judge stepped down from his bench and he came over and he paid the bailiff the $50, and then he invited his friend home for lunch. That is an act of justification. The law excused the offender, but the judge himself paid the price which the offender ought to have paid. You see, you have offended God. But in God's infinite wisdom, He has so construed salvation so that His own Son, indeed God Himself, would pay the price, would pay the bailiff. And then in the eyes of the law, you would be treated as if you had not sinned. That is justification. It is a legal transaction. Secondly, it is an act of God. What do we mean by that? We mean, firstly, that it is in contrast to sanctification. Do you know what that is? Sanctus is a Latin word. It means to purify, to make holy. Sanctification is that doctrine where we understand that we are made more and more personally righteous or holy in God's sight until our own personal lives are improved and made more moral. But justification is not like that. Sanctification is something that goes inside of Langston Haygood and that takes place within me. Justification, it does not happen within me. Justification is something that happens in the tribunal of God in His judgment. It is distinct from sanctification. It is distinct from regeneration. It is something that happens absolutely, finally, once and for all in the mind of God, where at one point when I repent of my sins and I ask Christ to come into my life, then at that moment I am justified by faith. At that moment, as it were, God opens His books and He goes down the column until He finds Haygood. And then to the right of the name Haygood, E. Langston, he writes with the blood of Jesus, not guilty. I am treated as if I have fulfilled the law of God perfectly. Why? Because I come to Jesus and I say, Lord, accept me, not for my goodness, not for my righteousness, but simply because I ask you in faith and I recognize that you have paid the price for me. That is the only basis. Justification is based on Christ's righteousness alone. I said, firstly, it is a legal transaction. Secondly, it is an act of God. It is something that happens in the judgment of God toward you and the way that He has of treating you. It is not something that goes on inside of you, so don't try to feel justified because you can't do it. It is based on Christ's righteousness being imputed to your account. It is as if right now, though I am a sinner, and though I will sin tonight, and though I will sin tomorrow, there is a sense in which when God looks at you, if you're a Christian, that He looks at you clothed with the snow-white righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't say that you were sinless. I didn't say that you were personally holy. I didn't say that you were personally good. I said that God treats you that way, not because of you, but because of Christ and His righteousness. Salvation, you see, is based not upon how worthy, how good you've become, but salvation is based upon how worthy the Lord Jesus Christ is. I'm afraid that so many Christians have trouble. I'm afraid that so many people who would be Christians have such a struggle with becoming Christians because what they are trusting in or what they're puzzled about is, how can I feel like I'm accepted? How can I feel like I'm justified? But what they're doing is that they are putting their faith not in Christ, but they're putting their faith in their own faith. They're putting their faith in their feelings, how they want to feel accepted in God's sight. But friends, if you have been struggling with that, what you need to do is simply look out from yourself, believing in Jesus and accepting Him, laying hold of Him as the object of your faith. Not your faith, not trying to womp up some feeling, but if you believe, no matter how small your faith is, it is faith. And it is enough to look out from yourself and to look to Christ and to turn from your own goodness. Perhaps you're miserable tonight as a Christian, because as a Christian, you have continued to try to gain acceptance in God's sight by how perfect and how good you've been trying to live. No wonder you're frustrated. No wonder you're miserable. You can't do it, see? I mean, the whole point of Jesus coming is the fact that you will never be accepted in God's sight by your own goodness, by your own righteousness. With this, I'll close. I want to ask you this. If you were to appear before God and God were to say to you, I have something against you, George. I have something against you, Bill. What would you say? What would be your plea? John Owen, and his a Puritan who wrote a series of books this is book 5 from his works. He said, if you appeared before God, and if God would judge thee, say to Him, Lord, I place the death of our Lord Jesus Christ between me and thy judgment. And if He shall say unto thee that thou art a sinner, say, I place the death of our Lord Jesus Christ between me and my sins. If He shall say unto thee that thou hast deserved damnation, say, Lord, I put the death of our Lord Jesus Christ between thee and all my sins. And if He shall say that He is angry with thee still, say, I place the death of our Lord Jesus Christ between thee, between thine anger and myself. What are you depending on to gain acceptance in God's sight? Is it your goodness? Is it your own faith? Or can you say tonight, I am justified. I have been pronounced just, right, good, acceptable by God simply because Christ Jesus died for me. And I look to Him in faith. And I put His death between God's justice and my sins. Have you done that? If you haven't done that, I want to give you an opportunity to commit yourself to Christ, to accept Him as your Savior tonight, as we have a season of silent prayer. And if you're a Christian, you could be that you've been trying to live by your own goodness too, that you're continuing to try to impress God with how God ought to accept you because you're worthy. You can't be worthy. There's a prayer that I have never prayed, and that is this. Lord, make me worthy. No matter how long I live, I can never be worthy of what Christ has done for me. And Christian, stop trying. Let's go to prayer.